All right, welcome to Security Guy Radio at Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
My name is Christopher Budd. I'm a Global Threat Communications Manager with Trend Micro.
And welcome. Trend Micro's been around a long time.
So it's about 27 years.
Yeah, it's a name brand.
It is.
And what was Trend Micro doing 27 years ago when all this stuff started?
Well, we started life as an AV vendor, but you know, we like people to understand that we're not an AV vendor anymore. We're a full-blown security company. Some of our best work these days is on network protections, vulnerability research. Many of your listeners may know that we acquired Tipping Point last spring.
Very familiar with Tipping Point.
Great product. Yes, great product, great team. So they are now part of Trend Micro. The Zero Day Initiative team is with us.
Excellent.
And they're all really happy, and we're thrilled to have them.
Excellent. So we've done 39 shows so far?
Just about.
And everybody has a little different angle, and we talked before the interview about what we're going to talk about. And once again, something a little different.
Yes.
Ransomware, yes, but also business email
compromise.
BEC.
Not a term I'm familiar with, and let's explain it to everybody.
Sure. So business email compromise can be thought of as kind of a variation on spam and phishing. But here's the thing. These are specific targeted campaigns where, let's say, you are the CFO of a company.
Right.
You get an email at 11 p.m. at night, ostensibly from the CEO, saying, we have a major problem with a contractor. We need you to wire $4 million.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So that's business email compromise.
And so, why is that not phishing?
It's a highly targeted form of email attack.
Okay.
Which typically is also known like whale phishing.
Right, spear phishing
where you're going over a targeted high executive type.
Right, right. You know, no one, people will take the phishing analogy as far as they can. We haven't had piranhas yet, but I'm sure we will at some point.
You heard it here first on Security Guy Radio. Coined a new term, Trend Micro. All right. So this is something interesting to me. I worked at Fox at Disney for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. Started there in the 90s, and, you know, we had every toy we could spend our money on, and we could buy something called an email manager back then, and it had some security components in it. And just for this reason, there were so many things coming into a studio, stalkers, you know, people trying to get to stars and things like that. We talked before the interview that you think we've kind of forgotten about this email problem as a specific issue, because people are trying to protect the network at the firewall from the exterior perimeter, and phishing is its own thing, but talk about how Trend Micro handles this.
Well,
and how we need to get back, maybe we need to get away from the cloud and bring those emails back down on our corporate servers.
Well, what we've seen is, you know, email is not very sexy as a security topic area. It's just something that people were talking about 10 years plus ago. You know, in theory, I worked at Microsoft. In theory, Mr. Gates said spam would be gone by 1996 or 2006.
Boy, was he wrong.
Yes. But, you know, people have been focused on mobile security, IoT. There's a whole bunch of new stuff out there. So a lot of people have set up their email security 5 years ago. It's worked fine, and they've just let it go.
Yeah.
Well, attackers don't stand still. With ransomware, with business email compromise, we're seeing email as the entry vector once again.
The low-hanging fruit, it still is.
Yeah. Right, right. You know, I would say attackers don't go away if you close one door. You know, they're going to find a new door. And so, you know, the other thing that we often see is there's a certain back to the future quality when it comes to this industry and attacks. You know, those who forget history are destined to repeat it.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that right now with ransomware and BEC. Now, another piece to this is from our customer base, one thing we've seen is people have been moving to the cloud. You know, they've been moving away from on-premise email solutions, on-premise email security, up to cloud providers. Now, the cloud providers have some good basic email security controls, but, you know, it's not on par with having a full-blown solution.
And it's also most oftentimes shared controls in other environments that you don't know about. You can't control how their behavior is, and it can impact yours if you don't really fully understand the cloud.
So are you telling me I screwed up by moving all my personal emails to Google?
No, not
do one locate, one management. It's easier, right?
It is. No, but you know, what's the security that is in place compared with what you had when you were doing it all locally?
Now, I'm not sure. That's the problem.
Right. Yeah. Now, what we're finding is when people have moved to the cloud, they just take the default security that's being offered. It's good basic security. With ransomware, we're starting to see people that have moved to hosted email services, like in the cloud, they're experiencing ransomware.
And so who's responsible at that point? Is it the hosted provider, is it still on the end user?
Well, the end user clicks it, so maybe it's on him, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the provider would say, we provide some basic security. We told you what we provide. You chose to accept it. And, you know, the providers aren't doing anything wrong. It's just that's not part of their full proposition.
And that's not what they're focused on. They're not focused on security. They're focused on providing cloud solutions.
Right.
Is anybody focused on security? We keep saying that.
I know.
They're not focused on security. They're not focused on... Who is?
Right.
The people here at this convention are.
That's the only
right.
people, right?
Yeah. Right.
All the manufacturers aren't, and the developers aren't, and the code writers aren't. Very interesting. All right.
Yes.
But, you know, what we're seeing now is people are looking to adopt and adapt some of our cloud-based solutions to provide the same kind of protections for their cloud hosting.
Let's talk about those products.
Sure.
What are those products, and what do they entail?
So there are things like our InterScan Gateway. You know, they provide a high level of customization that can help secure your environment. So, for instance, you can script so that, let's go to business email compromise. You can script so that an email that has the CEO's display name but comes in from the outside doesn't get shown, doesn't get delivered.
No, interesting.
You know, I mean, that's a level of granularity that the cloud services just don't provide. Now, another key thing to kind of call out too, when we talk about back to the future, remember macro malware?
Yes.
It's back.
Really?
Yes, it in the past year and a half.
Can you describe what micro malware is to the cloud?
So a macro malware is, say, a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet that has macros embedded.
Yeah.
The Melissa virus.
Exactly,
that
the Melissa
terrible.
Virus.
Oh my God, that contaminated the whole studio.
Right.
Yeah.
I was at Microsoft when Melissa and I Love You came out.
Yes, now, I Love You and
Now
Aurora.
Now here's the thing. In the wake of that, Microsoft introduced security controls that protect by disabling macros through email. What we've seen is that attackers are going back to macro viruses. The key thing is those security controls are still there. What's happening is
no one's checking for the macros anymore.
Well, actually, the people that are receiving them are being instructed on how to disable the security controls so that the macro virus can propagate.
Interesting.
So,
it's the first time we've heard about that.
Yeah. Another Security Guy Radio exclusive, maybe. Very interesting.
Yeah, that
was a terrible... and a lot of people in the studio got in a lot of trouble because those documents and emails that Melissa was forwarding didn't exactly have business information in it.
Right.
A lot of private weird stuff.
Well, now what we're seeing today is the purpose of these attacks is not mayhem like you had with the Melissa or I Love You.
Right.
It's to get specific information. And this brings us back to business email compromise, because one of the best things that you can do, if you identify an admin, for instance, in an organization, you know, achieve a successful compromise to get information about who they're communicating with so that you can craft a more credible attack to the next person up the chain.
And I just realized inadvertently that I was a hacker.
Okay.
Because when I did investigations back at the studios, I go into Microsoft Outlook, I changed my display name to Sharice Gutierrez.
Yeah, it's called spoofing.
I'd send it off and people would reply to me like Sharice, and I'd get all kinds of information out of them. I'm not sure it was illegal because I wasn't stealing or doing anything like that, just a general conversation. But people fell for that all the time. Now, what I learned from that is almost every email I have, I don't look at your name. I could care less what the name is.
I look at the
email thread.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's obvious to spot in those cases where it's from, you know, .uk or someplace I've never been to.
Right.
Are they getting more sophisticated in that sort of thing where I can't even tell the difference between the email address and the display name?
Sure. I mean, you know, hacking the underlying SMTP address, it's hard. It's more work than just the display name, but it's definitely something that you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's important to remember email is clear text. You know, email is basically, to this day, a postcard.
Yep.
If you want any sort of security guarantee, you need to look at, you know, at S/MIME or some sort of digital signature.
And I used to look at a friend of mine who does computers used to teach me, open up the source code of the email.
Right.
And there was something called hello.
Right.
And if the hello didn't match a certain thing, you knew it was bogus or something
like
that. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But that's too complicated for my grandmother to worry about.
Oh, absolutely.
She can't figure that out. So
what
does Trend Micro do to help consumers? You're focused on business and enterprise, I assume, but we've asked everybody here.
Right.
Are we moving down towards the middle businesses? Because those employ most people in the United States.
Sure.
Right?
So you know, our product suite spans consumer all the way up to large enterprises.
Oh, consumer too. All right.
Oh,
good.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
One of the first ones.
Our internet security product used to be known as Titanium. It's you know, you can buy it at Best Buy.
Yeah.
So okay.
You know, it's a great product. It's been around for a while. We also have specific products for the small medium business in our worry-free suite. Now, here's an important and interesting thing. Let's go back to ransomware. Ransomware started on the consumer side.
Yep.
It kind of accidentally started going into the business side. The attackers figured out the businesses are actually a good target because your typical business has more money than
especially with the insurance claims.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when you're targeting businesses, though, there's kind of a top of the bell curve for who you're targeting. If you go after the really big banks, well, they've got dedicated security teams. They can successfully fight. Small, medium businesses, they have more money than regular people, but they don't have the dedicated security teams.
So they find find that they pay the ransom?
You know, it's hard to say because we haven't done specific studies in that. We encourage people to not pay the ransom for many reasons. But one thing we can say based on our analysis and research is that the small, medium business segment is the one that's been hit the most in terms of ransomware.
Okay, that's what I thought it would be. And some people are saying, oh, no, really, it's more of a problem for a hospital or that kind of thing. So interesting, that was my intuition on it.
Right. I mean, again, when you think of the small medium business, it's kind of a hybrid between the enterprise customer and the consumer customer. And
yeah.
So, like I said, they represent the top of the
bell. Yeah, the enterprise has the money. The hospital has the money, and the business decision is cheaper to do it. But, you know, a small business, you're not in the cyber business, let's say, and you don't know how to handle that.
Nope.
You're just going to try and get a check and be done with it.
Right.
And then maybe hopefully change your security procedures so you don't get hit again.
Right.
But it's interesting. Another guy told us that organized crime does not like this ransomware because to them that's low-hanging fruit, cheap crime. We want to go after billions of dollars, and you guys are making us look bad with these $1,500 attacks. So there's some inner fighting in the criminal world about this kind of thing. Very interesting.
It could be. But, the other thing that I would say is, you know, critical that people don't pay the ransom because at the end of the day, you have no guarantee that they're actually going to give you.
Right.
That's very true.
Right.
We heard one story that it was a complete bluff.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they'll give you some back and then ask for more. We've got a case of a hospital where they paid the ransom once. We're told, here's some of your files. Now pay us more. They decided to stop sending good money after bad there. You know, we also have stories of organizations that pay the ransom, get their files back, and then are promptly reattacked and reinfected.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
Well, in a quick succession, so they don't have time to fortify.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Interesting.
And, you know, and another thing, when we're talking about small, medium businesses, I was going to say, we're also talking about organizations that may still be running Windows XP.
Absolutely.
And I liked XP.
Oh,
very stable.
Yeah, I helped ship Windows XP. It was a great product. I helped patch it. I shipped the first security patch, but all good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
And you know, if you've got Windows XP, please get rid of it.
Excellent.
Website one more time, trendmicro.com.
Yes.
And your name and title?
Christopher Budd, and I'm a Global Threat Communications Manager.
Chris, thanks for coming on Security Guard Radio. It's been a great topic, really a different insight than we've had before.
Absolutely.
And call us up and come on the show for 60 minutes one day.
Okay, great.
Sounds good. Thanks for coming on Security Guard Radio.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Right at 15 minutes, Reese.